something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal starting on May 23rd on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. In this special episode, I'll be talking with Emmy Award-winning journalist Ilia Calderon. Ilia co-anchors Univision's nationally broadcast evening news show alongside Jorge Ramos. She's the first Afro-Latina to anchor a national news desk for a major Hispanic network in the U.S. This month, Ilia published her memoir, My Time to Speak, Reclaiming Ancestry and Confronting Race. We'll talk about racism, intersectionality, and Ilia's own reporting on femicide. Did you find it to be somewhat of a new experience, maybe even a struggle to open yourself up personally, where as journalists, we're taught not to do that?
It was one of the most difficult things to open my heart. Actually, I had to rewrite many chapters many times.
You grew up in a region called Chocó, is that right?
Correct. It's a small town called Ismina, and let's say the state is Chocó. It's in the Pacific coast in the west, yes.
So tell us what makes this region unique or special.
We are more than 90% African descendants. We're poor, we're abandoned by the governments, affected by the corruption of our own leaders. But yeah, we were at the same time happy. When I was growing up, the first years of my life, we didn't have power. We didn't have electricity. So my clothes and my uniforms to go to school had to be ironed with a charcoal iron. I had to walk miles and take a small boat to cross a river to go to school. It was hard, but I think it gave me the drive to fight for something, to want to become someone, to do bigger things. And when I was 10, I told my mom I wanted to move to Medellin, one of the biggest cities in Colombia, where her sister and family lived. So I moved to live with my tía and her family and do my high school in Medellin. And that is a city where I first racism for the first time.
Can you describe that?
Yes. I was in sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And it hurt me so much. And after, I felt so bad because I didn't know what to say. And I decided to forget about the episode. And I didn't say anything about it. Not even to my mom. What am I going to say to her? And I decided just to keep it to myself. Those microaggressions, the way they look at you, the way they they tell you with the body language that you don't belong here, or they want to be away from you. They don't want to be related to you.
Was that just something that you quietly learned how to live with?
I just erased them as if it never happens. And then I kept going. And growing up, when you go back to those memories, it is hard. I didn't want my daughter to feel like the same way I felt. And we started a long conversation that never ends and that will never end. Like taking every opportunity you have to talk to your kids about this. And those microaggression, so-called jokes that are offensive when to refer to a dark-skinned person, are hard, and we need to eliminate them from our upbringing.
So from what I understand, before you arrived here in the U.S., you had this idealized vision of what the U.S. would be like. When did you realize that that vision you had wasn't necessarily true?
In my country, Black people were always the servants of the house or enslaved or the people working on the plantations. And for me, it was like, oh, wow. But at the same time, I was reading Toni Morrison, and I knew about the experience of the slaves in the United States. But when you come and you see, you know, it's, you are in the news. You see the news every day. You see the difference, and you can notice institutional racism, basically.
You've experienced backlash against your identity as a woman of Afro-Latina descent, and that's essentially three different targets.
For me, it's like being a minority within a minority, being Black, being Hispanic, and being a woman. The racism is very present in Latin America, from Argentina to Mexico. Wherever we had people enslaved that were brought from Africa against their will, in those countries, we have history of racism. I am proud to be a Black woman with my ethnicity being Hispanic or Latina. But my race is Black. My ethnicity culture is Hispanic.
I mean, your husband is Asian, you're Afro-Latina, and you have a daughter who embodies all these backgrounds. And I'm so curious, like what it's like to live in such a culturally rich household.
It's just amazing. We knew we had different upbringings, different cultures, but we decided to embrace our differences and embrace what we had in common. The moral values, the respect, the discipline, the family values were all the same. So we tried to focus in what we have in common to start raising the family that we have today.
I wanted to ask if femicide or gender-based violence directed at women is something that you've confronted in your professional life.
I actually dedicate one of the chapters of my book. It's called The High Price of Silence. And we traveled to Mexico and to El Salvador. It's hard in our countries. It's very, even in Colombia, not talking about only Mexico, El Salvador, but Colombia, Peru. We have so many cases of women that are killed because they are women. As I say, we are not found dead. Somebody killed a woman, somebody assassinated a woman, right? And we need to keep bringing the topic to the table. We need to keep raising our voices so more women find a healthy environment where they can raise their voices and where the stories can be heard and believed, and we start to end the situation.
One of the underlying issues beneath all of this that has to do with the corruption that underlays the malfunction of the judicial system in Latin America is drug trafficking. And that's certainly, I mean, that's what ties our two countries together, Mexico and Colombia. And we spend at least one episode in Forgotten explaining how the U.S.-Mexico border became the gateway for Colombian drugs in the 80s and 90s.
Yes, we lived in that era in the 80s and the 90s, where the war between the cartels and the drug against the cartels was very hard. You felt in danger all the time. All the time. Every time you were going out of your house, you didn't know if you were coming back alive because a bomb was going to explode at a mall or a public place or just a street, or they were going to kill someone and you were, you know, were just passing by.
You might as well be describing Juarez at certain periods. We don't even have to go to a faraway place to see these kinds of crimes committed against women. Here in the United States, we see femicide occurring.
We need to have a system that supports women, like federal registration on a system of gender-based violence. Our countries need to distribute more resources to prosecute those crimes. The police forces need to be well-trained when they receive cases of domestic violence.
Certainly, some of the things we witness as journalists, even though we don't experience them ourselves personally, they do have an impact.
I know, and how to deal with all those experiences and the stories that you cover, the places you visit, and the struggle of the people you interview. Sometimes it's like, you know, it touches you at a personal level. Sometimes you cry when you go back to a hotel after listening to those kids, for example, in the caravan, or a teenager that lost his mom that was, you know, murdered by her husband or couple. It's hard. And this book, at the same time, worked like an outlet of those experiences that touched me and made me grow as a woman and as a professional.
Well, thank you so much, Ilia, for being our guest on this special episode. To read more about Ilia Calderon and her story, check out her book, My Time to Speak, Reclaiming Ancestry and Confronting Race. To learn more about femicide in Mexico, listen to our podcast series, Forgotten, The Women of Juarez. I'm Monica Ortiz Uribe. Thanks for listening.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, I'm sure you know why we're here. I was like, what in the world is going on?
Listen to Betrayal starting on May 23rd on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.